on how to serve God. Can I? I'm going. Can I take him with me? He didn't want to scare him. He's going to slow down. I'm going to show him how to serve God. Do you permit me to take him? He said, sure. Take him, but don't go too far, the chilak. I'm very attached to him. So don't worry. Put your trust in God. I'll take him, I'll show him how to serve God. And you can be relaxed to know that I'm taking him. So sure, go ahead. And he went. What did he do before he went? He took wood, he made a bundle, he put it on the shoulder of his heart. Then, after he made the wood, the bundle, he took fire, you know, on the pot. Those days to make a fire takes a long, long time. 2 hours, 2.5 hours, so they blow, they bring. He made the fire into a pot, gives it to Yitzhak, carry it. Yitzhak sees the fire is there. He can't understand, there is a fire. He tells him, there is wood, but there isn't the main thing. Which one? The sheep. There, you forget what you require to have for a sacrifice. Where is the sheep? Then Avraham Avinu tells him, Elohim yir Eloh aseh le'olah. God will decide, you will see, that for Olah, my son. He didn't say, my son, God will choose the Olah. He said, for Olah, my son. Oh! He put it in such a way that will be for the Korban, for the sacrifice, my son, which my son will be deserved. Or could be meant, my son, God will find for us the sacrifice. He didn't get scared. He said, well, he's hacked to his father. I understand what you are instigating. You want me to be there. Sure, let's go. He runs. He runs. Yitzhak said, yeah, let's go. He's faster than Abraham. Let me go do the mitzvah quick. Be slaughtered. That's a mitzvah too, to be prepared to be slaughtered and to be accepted as a good sacrifice to God. And Yitzhak said, Dad, hurry up, hurry up. Let's go quick. Let's run. They were running, both of them. To go around to slaughter Yitzhak to be slaughtered. Oh, how many people would do that at 37 years of age? What do you think? All of a sudden your father comes to me, you today at your age, not 37. Come on, bring me the knife. He bring me the knife, he tells you. You bring the knife. That's what he did with Yitzhak. He put the knife with him. He put the fire, he put the wood. And Yitzhak said, please make sure that the knife is sharp and cut good. Don't make any blemish in me before the sacrifice. Cut it all at once, yeah. Here, on my throat. He told him, cut it good. Shema Yisrael. And then said, please, after you cut me, after you slaughter me, take from my body, burn it, and take the ashes to my mother, tell her, here's a good odor for you. Good smell. Shema Yisrael, you know what the mother wouldn't be? In such a case, then is it the test or not? Test the both of them. But what happened at the end? A ram was sacrificed instead of Yitzhak. Hashem said, take that kind of to mention and remind, be reminded as the children of that man who did such a thing, and then it will be deserved that I should answer your prayers. That's what we say now. Yeah.
On Pesach, they have a piece of
the what?
Korban Pesach is in that part of the ram.
Yeah, lamb, yeah. Now he said, Mipenesh tikat shofar mitzvah asir, yom tov velo, Mipenesh tikat shofar mitzvah asir, yom tov asir velo ta'asir, ve'en asir duchay lo ta'asir ve'asir. The day of the holiday is more important than blowing of shofar. In what way? Shikat shofar mitzvah in the Torah. But blowing of a shofar, there is no asir, no not asir. there is blowing of shofar is only mitzvah, one mitzvah, I say. And Yom Tov, the Torah said, don't do any work, and you should do only rest. Then there is two mitzvot. The Torah commanding you to rest, and the mitzvah commanding not to do melacha. That's why it's pushing. That's why the mitzvah of shofar, that there is only one mitzvah in it. Then he says, "Mutar liten b'tochom ma'im oyayin ochames v'yom tov kedel adichol." Person, you know, when you want the sound of the shofar to come clear, sometimes you blow the shofar and come, you know, sore like, and you know, it's a horse. The sound doesn't come good. You have to wash it. So they want to wash it on yom tov. Is that you are fixing it or not? So it's allowed to wash it. It's not. It's not forbidden. What do they wash it with? He comes and said, they put it water, wine, or vinegar. Some people admit any one of these items you can do, you can use. Person can go to the bathroom and take dirty water and wash the shofar with it. Shema Yisrael. Disrespect to the shofar. You don't do it. Sa'ifeh. שיעור השופר כדי שיוחזנו בידו ויראה לכאן ולכאן. How much is the size of a shofar? How long it should be? That's the question. He said, כדי שיוחזנו בידו, that you will hold it in his hand, this way, the fist. ויראה לכאן ולכאן. It will be seen a little from here and a little from here. Then as long as there is a little, doesn't matter how little it is, it's okay, it's kosher. Nisdak lo ko pasul. If it was cracked, the shofar, to the land, it's no good. Then, he said, le rohbo, if it was cut to its width, here is the shofar. If the crack was here this way, no good. Why? Because once it's cracked this way, it's going to open and open and open to the end. But if it cracked here this way, even if it was spread this way. But this, as long as there is from here to here, shi'ur of shofar, it's okay. Well, consider this is nothing. It's not there. That's why it's kosher.
On the mouthpiece of Zakan, Mahot HaShoyef,
yes? What?
On the mouthpiece.
Yeah.
Mahot HaShoyef. So, like, not cracked, just like pieces taken out of it.
Doesn't matter. Then comes in this chapter, the Rambam talks all about the shofar itself and the sound of the shofar. If it was changed, they tell us something beautiful in the Gemara, a story about the bugles that Moshe made in his time. All of a sudden, many, many years later, they were cracked. Right away, the Goyim saw it was cracked. They came, they took it, they wanted to fix it and to make the sound because it was beautiful sound. They sealed it where it was cracked. The sound wasn't good anymore. They came, they said, look what happened to us. They were the Chachamim told them, take the seal that you put on it off, you will see the sound will be good. They took it, the sound was good. Will crack. That's when it depends what you have in mind when you are doing something. Take out things and use it. And just use it without kavana. The person added something on the shofar, not from the shofar itself. He decorated it with gold, decorated it with diamonds. Now, is it kosher or not? No kosher. Then it goes on again and again. If the sound of the shofar should be only sound of a shofar. How about if a person blows shofar into a pit? That's
he
did it for himself. Does he fulfill his duty or not? It depends. If you would hear a sound of a shofar, yes. You would hear a sound of something else now. How do you know? Sometimes, if you are inside, you still will hear shofar. If you are outside the shofar inside, you won't hear a shofar. You will hear a different sound. That depends where he is at the time that you blow shofar. Look at second parak. We'll read here two halachot from this before we'll stop. A call, and this is very important, because those shofar, there are many laws, but there are different laws that not an actuality. Now, a call hayavin ishmo a call shofar. Everybody has to hear sound of shofar. Who is everybody? Kohen or Levi? Or Israel?
Everybody?
Huh?
All of them.
Kohanim, Leviim, Israel. You're right. That's what Ramban said. Not only the all of Israel, even also Gerim, people who were Gerim and converted into Judaism, they have to listen to the Shofar. Va'avadim mishacharim. If a person had Eved, Kenani, and he set him free, he has to listen to the Shofar. Because Eved, after he comes out of the hand of his master, he becomes a free man, a Jew. And he has to do the mitzvot. Nashim v'avadim uktanim. How about women? How about other slaves? Not of children. Peturim. They don't have to blow the shofar. Why? Because the Torah do not obligate them in any of the duties. Then he said, Mishhatsu Ibid Bhatsu bin Harim, Bitum and Gnos Hayavin. If a person is half of him is slave and half is not slave, how could be a person half slave or some slave? Two men, both one man, a third part. Two men bought Mr. George to be their slave. Now this one, half belongs to this one and half belongs to this one. What do? They cut him into two halves? Say, listen, you will serve you one day, you will serve me one day. You one day, me one day. Or a week and a week. Or a week and 2 weeks, up to them. Maybe one brings more productivity and he deserves to get more. Now this is the condition that is with them, that's become, belongs to two. Correct? Now this is what they say. If a person is a slave, but half of him is slave, how do they become half slaves? He works for me one day, for you one day, because we both bought him. Therefore, he is half mine, half yours. But one of them set him free. We both own a third party as a slave. And then you went, you said, I want him to be free from me. Then in your days, it doesn't work at all. My days, he has to work. I didn't set him free. That's called Hitzio Eved, Hitzio Ben Harim. Does he have to blow shofar or not? That means, does he include in the mitzvot or not? V'tumtom v'andarogenos hayavim. What's tumtom? A person that was born with something covering his heart to know if he's a boy or a girl. We don't know. Like all of a sudden he goes, he urinates, he goes everything. What is he? Is he a male or female? We don't know. Maybe if they were today, they would make an operation to see. Here's all of a sudden a piece of skin over. You don't know what's under it, male or female. No x-rays are there, he said, to see. That's called Hetzio Eved, Hetzio Ben Harim. Or tumtum, that means it's covered. You don't know if he is a male or female. Androgynos. Androgynos was another thing. You wouldn't believe it. But that's what the Onasia is.
Animal,
what's androgynos?
Animal,
androgynos. No. Don't use your own imagination. But if you know, you say it. Androgynos means that 1 month he is a male, 1 month he is female. It's unbelievable. There is such a thing. You never heard of it. There is another thing on the Loginos. He has both. He is male and a female. This you heard? This I saw with my own eyes. Person has both parts. He has the organ of a male, and he has place like a woman. I happened to be in a hospital with a child to be circumcised, my son. Parents were kind. The male couldn't say beracha. He's not allowed to say beracha, only to circumcise him without beracha. Because he had both. That's androloginos. The question is, the androloginos is hayav to listen to shofar or not? Because they have a doubt if he's a male or female. There is a doubt, a temptum, if he's a male or female. He is hayab. Why? Since you have a doubt in something, maybe he's hayab, he has to do it. Is that correct?
Huh? Woman or man hayab, so he has a...
Women hayabim?
Sure.
Who told you that? We just read now, Nashim v'avadim uktanim peturim. A woman is free from this mitzvah, the Rambam says. Rambam said, at least we're reading what Rambam is saying. According to Rambam, the woman, she is free from mitzvah shofar. They got to listen. They're tzaddikim, hasidim, our women. They do more than what they're supposed to. But la halacha, are they hayabim or not? It's al jupiturim. Am I going to argue with Rambam? Mr. Shem? No.
Who are we? Who am I?
Yeah. Then he said, call me she'eno hayab badabar. If you say this man is not obligated, like women, little children, they're not hayabim. If they know how to blow the shofar, they want to blow it for somebody else who doesn't know, does he fulfill his duty by the blowing of shofar for women and the little boy? No. He said, call me she'eno hayab badabar. He is not obligated. He cannot do it for somebody else who is obligated.
That's in general or just for this?
In general, everything.
How about for Megillah?
Same thing here. Huh?
How about for Megillah?
Megillah, the same thing.
The person already read Megillah?
No, I didn't say read. I said, is he obligated in the reading of Megillah or not? If he read, doesn't mean he's not obligated. He's obligated to read Megillah. Yeah, for your say, Rehovah.
So what are you saying? The person who's no man or lady, he doesn't have to?
Okay. We said, we didn't say he didn't have, we said he has to. Yeah. Because you don't know, it's a doubt, maybe. Oh. He has, maybe not, therefore he has to. I didn't say he doesn't have to. Then he said, "Androgynos motzi et mino, be'eno motzi et she'eno mino." If there is an androgynos over here, what's androgynos? We said he has both, male and female. Can he make the mitzvah for other fellows who are like him, or not? Because she said yes. Because if you figure him a male, then both are male. Right? The other one who listens is a male, and he is a male. If you figure him a female, then the other one also is a female. Female blows shofar for a female. She can blow for male. That's what it said. And the Ganos Motzi et Mino, he can do blow shofar for men of his own kind. Velo et she'eno mino. She'atomtom she'neka, efshar she'matze zecha, efshar she'matze nekeva. Because this, the one that his organ is covered, maybe someday they will cut it. They will be able to know if he's a chal or a keva. Okay, I'll stop here then. 10 days of Tishri. Shevitat Asur. In Shachan Aruch they call it Alechot Yom HaKippurim. But the Rambam said, Shevitat Asur. Why? Rambam uses the language of the Pasuk of Torah. Ve'asur lachodesh tishbetu Shabbat Techem. All know, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to the mountain of Sinai how many times? 3 times. First time, he went to get the Luchot, Rishonot. We know when he went the first time. when Hashem gave Aseret HaDibarot. Hashem told him, come, that was the sixth of Sivan. He came down, Shiva Asavet Tammuz, 40 days later, and he broke the Luchot. He broke, the bonk, whatever it is, he broke them because the letters, he realized they became heavy. Before that, it became light. He carries them light. Why? The Luchot, they carried themselves. What do you mean carry themselves? Since there is holiness in the Luchot, very light. They say the Aron Noseet Nosab. What's Aron Noseet Nosab? The Aron of the Torah that they had in Beit HaMikdash was carrying those that they carried. How did they carry it? How did the Aron, the Torah, carried the people that carried the Aron? We see this, we see it in Nevi'im, Beferush, when Israel went from the desert to enter Eretz Canaan. Where were they? On one side of the Jordan, on the east side of the Jordan. And they had to cross the Jordan. They wouldn't be able to cross the Jordan till the Kohanim were carrying the Aron, went into the water. The minute they walked into the water with the Aron in their hand, the water was split, became like the miracle of Red Sea. What was Yam Suf? And they went in on dry land. The Kohanim stayed in the middle till Israel, all of them, crossed from one side to another on the dry land, in the Jordan, in the river. After all Israel passed from east to west, Hashem told the Kohanim, ordered the Kohanim to go back to the east. They went back to the east. All of a sudden, all the water came again. Now the water was dividing between the Kohanim and Israel. Then Hashem said to the Kohanim to go ahead with the Aron. All of a sudden they came to go ahead. The Aron carried them, picked them up, and they went in the air over the river there. They went straight like a magic carpet, like a plane. No ignition, no engine, nothing. Not to ignite anything. The Kedusha of the Aron carried, it shows you, that's what they call Aron, Nose et Nosab. Seems to be that they carried the Aron, but the Aron carried them. That's why when David the Melech came to bring the Aron into Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, when it was in the house of Abinadab, because if you learn Nevi'im, you remember that in the time of the Nevi'im, once Israel went to war, what happened? Shaul went to war with the Philistines, and they were almost losing the war. They decided to take what? To take the Aron of the Lord to the war, to the battlefield. When the Philistines heard Israel, when they saw the Aron coming, were celebrating, they knew they can rely on the Aron. But what happened? The Philistines were scared. Mi yatzilenu yad ha'Elohim ha'adirim ha'ele, who will save us? After what they did to Paro, Mitzrayim, and to Amalek, they were very scared. Then they started encouraging each other. The end is, the Philistines won the war. And Shaul and his son were killed. And they took the Aron with them. When they took the Aron with them, what happened? They thought how they can do anything they want the Aron. They took the Aron into their church, near the Avodah Zarah, the idol. It's called Dagon, because it was made in the shape of a fish. And when they put it down next to it, they come the next morning, the gun is on the floor, the arms and everything broken, and the gun is in its place. Started chilling. They knew that the gun is punishing their God. They tried it again, same thing. The people of the town said, we don't want him here. There were five large cities, send it to a different city. A different city said, we'll take it. We'll capture it. The same thing happened to them. Then to the third, five cities. Then they were scared. They said, we must do something. Why? So only they're going, it doesn't matter. So they won't put it with their altars around. But Hashem, they had a plague. Another plague, hemorrhage. They go to the bathroom, it's all bleeding. Then you stove. All of a sudden, they go to the bathroom, there is some kind of living creature, jumps on them, bites. They had a terrible thing. And when they saw that, then we have to do something. They consult them, so we must send it back to the Jewish people, to the Hebrew people, with the gifts. What? They put that, the shape of that insects that they had, like mouths or something like that, from gold, to say, like, sorry, and send it. And they said, well, still they weren't believing, maybe or not, so we'll put him on a wagon. Let the wagon see. If we'll put on a wagon and go, if they will go to the right direction, they go back to the Hebrew, that means the God of the Hebrew people is punishing us. If not, it's not. They did that. Exactly. They went straight to the Jewish people. There and then, what happened among the Jewish people, came to a place called Beth Shemesh. Beth Shemesh saw the Aron coming, they were so happy. Not only make a big celebration and dancing and that, and the Aron is over there, instead of taking the Aron, covering it, keep it in the right way. The holy, they made a mistake. Right away, many of them died in the plague. They realized because they didn't respect the Aron the right way. They took it, they didn't want it in their town, they took it to another town. Well, to a Gibeah, at the house of Abinadab, they put it over there. After they put it over there, in the house of Abinadab, stayed there for a long time. When David HaMelech came, he decided he has to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, to the city of Yerushalayim. He went to get it. When he went to get it, this Abinadab had two children, one Uzzah and one Ahio. They took the wagon with the animals, they took animal cows that were mothers to children. But you know, when there is mothers to children, the children cry, they want the milk to be dust. And the mothers feel very bad, they wouldn't go. They went, the cows were singing also. When they put the wagon, came there, the cows were singing, the cows were singing. Anyhow, when they came down, David put it in the wagon, it was a mistake, because Hashem said the Aron should be carried on their shoulders. Took it, then Hashem wanted to show him they did wrong. Then there was the son Uzzah was going with that wagon. All of a sudden, what happened? They came to a place the road wasn't straight. And the wagon looked like the Aron was going to fall. Uzzah ran and he held it. The minute he held it, he died and nothing happened to the Aron. Because he wasn't supposed to hold the Aron uncovered like this. Then David felt very bad. He was worried that many people would die because of disrespect of Aaron. He took it into a house of Obed Edom, somebody whose name Obed Edom. He had 8 daughter-in-laws, his wife, all these people. After Aaron stayed with him, well, in 7 months, they all got pregnant. His wife, his daughter-in-laws, they all had children. He said, in 1 year, his family increased in such a large number. He was very successful in his world. The farm succeeded so much. The animals were giving birth, like, multiplied so much. And the blessing of the crop. When David HaMelech heard that he was blessed, so what am I doing? Obed Edom was blessed so much, Aaron. If you respect Aaron, you get the blessing of God. Then he went to bring the Aron. Now they carried it on their shoulders. Every six steps, David makes a new offering. And dancing and that they brought Aaron to that. All this I'm bringing, Aaron Nose et Nosab. Carries, and Moshe, when he broke the Lohot, before he broke them, he didn't feel anything heavy. He was carrying the Lohot line. All of a sudden, it became very heavy. He understood that the letters that were there disappeared. There is no Kiddushah, and he can break them. Otherwise, he wouldn't break, like Sefer Torah. You can't take Sefer Torah and tear it. And therefore, they broke. Anyhow, this when he came down with Shiva Asar, B'Tammuz. Then he went up again the following day, the 18th. He came down on the 29th of Av, 40 days later. What did he go second time? First time he went to get the Lohot, then he broke them. What did he go second time for? To pray for Am Yisrael that Hashem should forgive them for the Aron of the Egel. 40 days he was praying. I say many times. What was the longest Amidah that ever prayed by a human being? Prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. He prayed Amidah, one Amidah, standing, not sleeping, not eating, not drinking, for 40 days and 40 nights. He did not move till Hashem told him, okay, I forgive them. Selahti kevarecha. That took 40 days and 40 nights. There is a reason why Hashem made him pray for 40 days and 40 nights. After he came down, Hashem told him, I forgive. He came down one day, Hashem told him, prepare another Lohot. Go bring another two tablets. That will be, the tablets are very, very large and heavy. What will be? It's 2 feet long, 2 feet wide, 2 feet thick, 3 dimensions. That's just a tablet. You can imagine what. Today they take a little diamond, or 4 carats, 2 carats, 3 carats. Ooh, big deal. But this was 2 feet. It's all was a diamond. Very large. Where did he get them from? There is Midrash also. Where did Moshe get it? And however, he brought, he went down, he carved and he brought. After he carved, he had pieces. From those pieces, Moshe Rabbeinu became the wealthiest man. Hashem made him have the stones. Where did he get them? Clouds brought the stones to him. But those stones that were very large, and he was carving to make exactly the size that Hashem wants. The rest, Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, you did something very great. You sacrificed all wealth for one mitzvah. What was the mitzvah that he did? The bones of Yosef, when they left Egypt, everybody ran to take all belonging with the Egyptians. They went to strip them after they were dead. The Red Sea threw them, everyone had jewelry. In those days the men wore jewelry on the arms, on the neck, even earrings, everything. They were busy. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I will have to look for the gold. There is something more important. What the bones of Yosef, the remaining of Yosef. And he went. Vayikach Moshe et asmot Yosef. Hacham lev yikach mitzvot. The smart man runs after mitzvah. Hashem said, because of the mitzvah you lose, I'll make you have it. Hashem made him richer than all of Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu became the wealthiest one after he had those diamonds. And from the cutting, piece here and piece here, piece here. He had many pieces, quite a number of carats. Now this is how Moshe became. That's the second time of the Lohot. The Lohot was the third time that he was going up. Because first time he went for the Lohot, second time for the prayer, third time went. Imagine Moshe Rabbeinu for 120 days. He did not eat, did not sleep, and drink, but the only thing, these 120 days, were broken by 2 days in the middle. When he came down, he ate. He's up, doesn't eat, like an angel. That was Moshe Rabbeinu. No human being, that's 3 times in a row. Not once happened in finish. That's the bigger thing. And Yahweh Nevi happened to him only once. 40 days and 40 nights. But Moshe Rabbeinu, three times, and in a row, as I said, only interruption of one day in between. One day between the first 40 and second, and one day between the second to the third. The third time he went up when? Rosh Chodesh Elul. When did he come down? On Kippur. Hashem said, from now on, this month Elul and Kippur are days of forgiveness. Because this is proved when Hashem gave the Luchot to Israel that he is really satisfied from them. And he gave them, otherwise he wouldn't. That means he really forgave them. And since then, this month became to be known as a month of mercy, a month of forgiveness, and especially the 10 days, Rosh Hashanah till Kippur. They call Rosh Hashanah Day of Judgment. However, the Gemara said, Shelosa Sefarim Neftahim beRosh Hashanah. There are three different books that come out. Books of Tzadikim, Gemurim. Tzadikim, Gemurim is a person that has a majority of his deeds good. Tzadik. It's written in the book of Tzadikim. They call Vesifran Shel Tzadikim. From another is a person, the opposite. Rasha, Rasha'im Gemurim. But there is a person in between. 50-50. What they do? They wait for him. Give him a chance. How long do they wait for him? 10 days. Up to Kippur. When comes the Kippur, there's already a decision. The signing with the seal. They sign it. Hatima, they call it. That's why we change it now. I would say Hotmenu. Sign that the final decision will be good. Now this is the 10 days between Shana and Kippur. However, how about the Rasha that was already inscribed in the book of Rasha'im? Even him, if he makes teshuvah, he has a chance. Hashem gives him a chance to Kippur. Come to the Kubbalim and say, Achmea Kabbalah, even though that there is already a decision, there is a seal already, but the seal is not final yet. Just like there is a temporary seal, and there is a permanent seal. The permanent seal is Hoshana Rabbah. That means there is 21 days from Rosh Hashanah till Hoshana Rabbah. These 21 days, there is a chance for a person. Hoshana Rabbah is the final. That's why in the night of Hoshana Rabbah, what do we do? Stay up the whole night. And we read. And we read. We read Hamash. Hamash Devarim. And then we read Tehillim. And Selichot. Seven times in between. And we sefer to another sefer, Selichot. And again, and again, and again. Why do we pray Selichot? We say Hotmenu again. They keep saying this. Hotmenu b'sefachim tovim. Hotmenu b'sefachim. Till then, we are so tired, we go to sleep. Hoshana Rabbah. Now, this is why we read Torah the whole night, Hoshana Rabbah. Now, the conclusion, I'm coming back to the Kippur. Hashem said, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem, letaher etchem, kol hatotechem, lefnei Hashem, tetar. On Rosh Hashanah, there isn't any specific statement in the Torah telling us that this is the day of judgment. It's written, you should celebrate, make it Yom Tov, Mikal Kodesh, bring a Korban, and blow shofar. Why? It's not written. But in Tehillim it's written, Tek'u b'chodesh shofar b'kese l'yom hagenu, k'chok l'Yisraelu mishpat, for this day God will judge the people. This is how called Yom Hadin. Then we say Hashem gave a chance. But Kippur, it's written in the Torah, Ki bayom hazeh yechaper alechem. But Hashem said there are two important parts to the day of Kippur. There is one, the Avodah, the service of Kohen Gadol b'yom HaKippurim in Bet HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol, he is supposed to do all the service in Bet HaMikdash on the day of Kippur. And the service is a very difficult one. Very difficult. He starts from early in the morning after staying up the whole night. They don't let him sleep. Why? They're afraid he becomes tamer. How he becomes tamer? When he goes to sleep, maybe he'll have a dream. All of a sudden, will be an issue of something. No. He must stay up the whole night. And 7 days before that, he's not home. He's already in Beit HaMikdash. And on the Arab Kippur, They bring me there, the students, the young men, also to let them stay up the whole night. If they see him, he's will take a nap or they'll fall asleep. Hey, right away. Makim be'etzvah tzera, they train them already how to make noise of their, hey, ishi kohen gadol, don't sleep. They don't let him even take blink of the eye, you know, close it, no sir, you can't. That's why Makim be'etzvah tzera, that's the language of the Mishnah. Stays up the whole night. What does he do the whole night? They read all the laws in front of him, what he's supposed to do. Early in the morning, before Alot HaShachar, come on, rush. They start preparing him to the service. What is the first service? He has to work with Korban Tamid. He does a Korban Tamid. He has to run from one thing to another. Every service that he does, he has to change his clothes. He has to make Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. He has to make Tevilah. Tevilah before he wears the clothes. Tevilah after he comes, he changes the clothes again from Bigdei Zahav to Bigdei Levan. Bigdei Levan to Bigdei Zahav. What Bigdei Zahav, Bigdei Levan? Bigdei Zahav, that's the clothes that there is gold in it. That's only for outside. Why outside? Because when he is among the Jewish people, you should see him. Look, he has a special uniform of very, very important person in comparison. But when he goes inside Beit HaMikdash, you're a simple man like the rest. There he has eight, now he has only four. Just linen, plain, nothing else. And he goes, I'm a simple man, and I go before a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He enters Beit HaMikdash. He offers the Korbanot over there. He comes out, he changes again. Five times he has Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, five times Tevilah, five times take off the clothes, put on, and the work. He takes the animal, first of all, Korban Tamid. He cuts. He doesn't cut it all. He makes half of the shechita. He let another Kohen make the rest, not to waste time. He cuts most of the simanim, the majority. He tells the other one, you finish it. He goes, he takes the blood, he pours on the mezbeah. From the Tamid, he goes to his par. Yeah, the Kohen Gadol has to bring his own par, Korban, to ask Hashem for forgiveness for himself first. Then another Korbanot for his tribe. Again, he makes vidui for his tribe. After he finishes vidui for his tribe, then he brings the sayur for Israel. You can't ask for Israel before you are clean. You have to clean yourself first. And then there is a process of work. He would not finish the work. He starts early in the morning before dawn till late at night. He has a very hard work throughout the whole day long, morning till evening. So that's called Seder Avodah. Avodat Kohen Gadol Beyom HaKippurim. And this is all that's written in the Mishnah in Masechet Yoma. Gemara discusses it very much. Then we come, today we don't have Beit HaMikdash. Don't have Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol, they used to wait for him Israel outside to see when he comes. If he didn't deserve it, he would die inside. If he is good, he will come out alive. And when he comes out alive, he makes a big celebration. They all go with him, they escort him to his house. There he makes a big party. And he let them eat with him. Most of Israel were there with him. That's Seder Avodah, we have it in the prayer. Because today we don't have Beit HaMikdash. Who sends instead of Kohen Gadol? Beit HaMikdash is Beit HaKnesset. It's called Mikdash Me'at. The Kohen Gadol is the Hazan. That's why the Syrian people, in particular, Musaf should be recited by a rabbi, a man who sends instead of Kohen Gadol. I tell anybody to, they were always, since I'm here 35 years, they say always a particular a rabbi to say Musaf. They don't want to give Musaf to anyone. This is a very good habit that they have. They don't give it to anyone. And this is Seder Avodah. Seder Avodah is a very difficult to understand. You have to know all the laws. Person who reads the Mishnah, reads the Gemara. And then Seder Avodah, somebody saw me yesterday. Oh, Shalom, what the Mahazor here of Kippur? What about reading? I opened the Mahazor. Somebody came and said, what are you doing, Rabbi? Studying the prayer, to know how to pray, one thing. I smiled, well, I thought. I was looking and I was thinking, the Gemara says something different. in the Bahadur is something different. The opinion is to support the Rashida. I'm looking at the wording. There is something not in order of the Gemara. Why is that? Why they put it this way? There is a book called Ahole Yaakov. Very great rabbi. He knew the whole Gemara, Masichet Yomah. Perhaps every word of it by heart. He wrote Perush on Seder Avodah in the Mahazor of Yom Kippur. That Perush is gorgeous. It's out of this world. It's called Ahole Yaakov. They were out of print, and now recently they reprinted them in Israel for Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. This man wrote only two books on Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, on Mahazor, Perush and Mahazor. But from his Perush and Mahazor, we see his greatness, very great Tamil Chacham. When I was young, they asked me a question. I was 9 years old. A rabbi came to me and said, Baruch. He told me, my name was Baruch. And I said, I want to ask, they used to call me right away and a joke, from Baruch. Said, I want to ask you a question. I said, yeah. You know grammar, don't you? Said, yes, Rabbi. What, how the grammar comes, the tenses, you know? I said, sure, avar, hove, atid. Then what's first? Avar, then hove, then atid, of course. Avar is a past tense, it was. Hove, it is now, present. Atid, future. I said, I want to ask you, what do we say in Hashem Melech? Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imloch. Tell me there, what's the order in this pasuk? Melech is now. Malach is Avar. Imloch, Atid. Why is that? Why in this pasuk it's written first Hashem Melech, then Hashem Malach, then it should be Hashem Malach, Hashem Melech, Hashem Imloch. I smiled. I said, why is mine? I said, no, Rabbi. There is no present tense in this pasuk. I said, how come? I said, Hashem Melech. I said, no, Melech is an...